a song. Hallelujah. Do you have a Bible?
Oh, praise God. Turn with me to the book. Now let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 11. I got faith in my spirit. I got faith in my spirit. Now in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, Mark chapter 11, go to. But in the book of Genesis chapter 12, God speaks to Abraham. And he tells Abraham to come out from amongst his family and go into a land that he would show them. You can't be afraid of God's direction and God's instructions in life. It is an absolute must that you always know that God only has the best intentions for you. Even if it sounds crazy, even if it sounds like, man, that's too much, too far-fetched, you've got to know that God has the best intentions for you. When he told Abraham to leave his family, you picture or put yourself in that place. You're around family. You're in a comfortable place. You got a relationship with God. The rest of your family is worshiping idols. But God doesn't call Abraham to just go down the street to the next city. God calls him on a long journey, telling him to come out to a place that I will show you. And Abraham simply obeys. All he did was, okay, packed his bags, told dad, I'm leaving. Told his brothers, I'm leaving. Told all of his family members, I'm leaving. As he leaves, he takes Sarah, whom the scriptures say, not that God, you know, it had to get started off this way, but now that we populated so much, God whacked it and cut it off and say, no incest, no, what's the other word? What do you call it? Okay, what is it, the family thing when you have intimacy with family members? It is incest, okay. No incest, no molestation, no rape, none of this stuff. Now you're at a place where you don't have to have intimacy with your sister in order to reproduce. We've gotten to a place now we don't have to do that. But I'm saying that to say this. With Abraham, Abraham married his half-sister, Sarah. And as he's taking Sarah with him, getting ready to go on his journey. His dad wants to go with him, so he takes his dad. His nephew wants to go with him, so he takes his nephew. Servants go with him. So Abraham takes off, being led to go to a place that God called him to. Okay, Abraham, where are we going? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I don't know. All I know is that God told me to go out to a place that he would show me. I'll know when I get there. How ridiculous is that? It required absolute faith. It required absolute obedience. Abraham believed God and trusted him and went on out. And the family, he was so convincing that certain ones of his family followed with him. And so God told Abraham, I'm going to bless those who bless you. I'm going to curse those who curse you. Now, if God curses you, boy, that's a serious curse. You know, people can come up to you and try and put a curse on you, or witches can do witchcraft type of things, and, you know, they can take these little dolls, if you will, and start poking pins in them and things like that, and they can work some sort of magic. It's all demonic, if you will. But when God curses you, boy, you're really cursed. And God says, now, if God blesses you, you're really blessed. God says, I'll bless everybody that blesses you, and I will curse everyone who curses you. Do you not realize that it's a common thing if somebody comes and blesses you that you just want to bless them back? Something, they did something good for me. Oh, what can I do for them? They got me a Christmas gift this year. I didn't get them anything. Oh, let me go get something to give them. It's like kind of a natural thing. But in the kingdom of our God and of our Christ, it doesn't work that way. Mind you, you can go and be nice to somebody that's been nice to you. It's okay, but we go past what God says. God says, I will bless them. A few weeks ago, an individual had sent me an email because they wanted to know if they should bless this person that had come and blessed them, because they tried to and the person didn't receive. And so my thing is that, well, if God told you to bless them, you better bless them. If God didn't tell you to bless them, then don't. But if God said bless them, you better obey. Why? Because God's got something greater coming your way that depends on your obedience to be willing to release whatever it is God is telling you to do. I came in here today. Someone blessed me. I take it that God told them to bless me. I not only stopped there. I'm trying to find out where it is. I have too many pockets, obviously. And on the camera, it's like, what is he doing? I'm trying to find. Someone blessed me. They blessed me with a $100 seed. All I did was came in that door. Now, the natural response would be, oh, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? That would be the natural response. But God is now obligated to bless this person out of their simple obedience. How does that come upon me? Because it came upon Abraham. Well, what do I have to do with Abraham? Well, the Bible plainly says that Abraham had a son. His name was Isaac, laughter. And then Isaac has a son, and his name is Jacob, supplanter. But God establishes a covenant with Abraham that goes to Isaac, that goes to Jacob. And then it goes to his 12 sons. And through the lineage of one son, Judah, it all comes down to Christ. And so when God says, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The scripture plainly tells us when God said his seed, he didn't say seeds as plural, but he said seed as singular. And then Paul gives the revelation. Abraham's seed is Christ. So because I belong to Christ, as he says, if ye are Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and you are heirs according to the promises of God. What's about to happen? Some of y'all are really getting ready to get blessed in a financial way. And this is not hype. This is reality. I didn't know how this was going to come about, and I only have 4 more minutes in order to share it. But I know this can turn some people off, because people get turned off about money unless they have it. As long as they don't have it, then it's like, Jesus wasn't ashamed to talk about money. Jesus was not ashamed to stand at the treasury and watch people give. Jesus, I want to see how much you're giving. Why don't you go over there and pray for somebody that needs healing? I want to see how much you're giving. What you putting in the pot? Cheapskate. Why you even come up here? You got $1,000 in your pocket, and all you're going to put is $1 in the offering. Why you even come up? That's the kind of thing Jesus was doing.
And then he saw a widow come up here. And the widow comes, and she pours in everything that she has. And everybody's looking at her like, that offering ain't worth nothing. And Jesus said, this woman has outgiven all of you. Because everybody gave out of their abundance, but she gave out of her lack. So I'm obligated to take care of her. Amen. Faith. So the Bible says, if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and your heirs according to the promise of God. So that puts us in position that anyone that blesses us, God will bless them. Anyone that curses us, God will curse them. And in us and through us, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's the promise that we inherit simply by being Christ. It goes all the way back. This is why, as a believer, I'm talking about spirit-filled, free believers. You don't frown at tithes and offerings. Matter of fact, rebuke saints that say, well, that's Old Testament. What do you mean rebuke them? Correct them because they are wrong. Tithing came into place before the old covenant was initiated. The scripture records Abraham as the first one to honor God with the tithe. And nowhere in scripture does it say God told him to do it. It was something that was in his heart to do. And how God blessed him. God said, I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. And in you and your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham goes on this journey, and he takes his family down to Ur of Chaldee, and then his father dies, and so then he moves on, making his way towards the place that God called him to. And so as he gets to the land where Abimelech is, and he goes in there, the scripture says that he goes there, and before he goes in there, he conjures up a lie. Because he knows the heart of men. Mind you, he's up in age. He's 75. That makes Sarah 65. They're both in retirement age, according to today's standards. And God makes a promise to him that he's going to have a seed. But here you have Abraham, and he's got Sarah. And he's like, Sarah, when we go into this land, tell these people that you are my sister. Now, it was a half-truth. Because she was his sister. But he didn't tell the whole thing, and that was she was his wife. So they go into the land, and they look at Sarah, and Sarah is beautiful. In our terminology, fine fox, she looked real good. So they get down there, and they want Sarah. The ungodly, they want Sarah. And God is very protective of his own. So when they long after, their eyes are longing after Sarah, and they want Sarah, the king wants Sarah, and God, touch her, you're a dead man. What do you mean? That's my servant's wife. Don't you dare touch her. And this good, this is how good God is. Hallelujah. With his people. He protects, he watches over us, he covers us, he blesses us. So anyways, so he finds out, and he's like, why didn't you tell me, man? And Abraham's like, as if I would have told you, you guys would have killed me and took her. At least this way, you know, God will mess with you if you mess with me. So they, like, restore him back, and it says Abraham left that place, and when Abraham left that place, he left loaded down. He left with possessions. This is not all about money, and I'm about to stop in just a few minutes. It's not all about money. But he left that land, and when he left with possessions. He left loaded down. He had servants, he had camels, and in that day, if you had livestock, you were wealthy. And so he left out of there, and he was blessed. How did he get so blessed? God was with him. And everyone that blessed Abraham got blessed. Everyone that cursed Abraham got cursed. This is what comes to us as sons and daughters of the Most High God. So when you go on your next interview and they say, well, why should I hire you?
Well, let me tell you, I have a covenant with the Most High God. In that covenant, God says that he'll bless everyone that blesses me. He'll curse everyone that curses me. So I think it would be to your advantage to hire me for this position. For you and your company. You know, no brags, just facts. I got the scriptures to back me up. Oh, I've never heard anything like that. Well, you want your company to be blessed? Yes, hire me. God will bless your company simply because you brought me on board. I'll do a good job. I have to. Because my service is not to you. My service is unto the Lord. That's the kind of relationship I have with my God. I'm not concerned about you watching over my shoulder. I'm more concerned about God watching over my shoulder. Because he'll be there when you can't be there. He's watching me all the time. His eyes are always on me. So, you know, I'm going to do a good job, mind you. But you're going to be blessed and you're going to prosper because you have hired a servant of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's called covenant. It's called this. It's more than a binding agreement. It's not based on distrust like your normal contracts. If you don't do this, the contract is void. This is based on trust. This is a covenant. God, he couldn't find nobody worthy, so he himself swore that he would uphold the covenant with us. So we see Abraham willingly gave tithes. And this is how Abraham was. Abraham came after he rescued his nephew Lot and rescued those five kings and got all of their goods back. And when it took it to them, and they were like, you know, here, we want to give you something. He's like, no, just enough for the men. But nobody's going to say that they have made me rich. Nobody's going to get that credit or that glory. But what Abraham did was he took a tenth of the spoils and then went and honored Melchizedek by laying the tithes at his feet. And what was Melchizedek's address to Abraham? Abraham, servant of Most High God, El Elyon. And he blessed him. And everything Abraham did just began to prosper. Just began to prosper. And this is what God wants to do with his people today. He wants to prosper them. Well, why preach about sin? Because sin will hinder your prosperity. This is what we learn in Numbers chapter 23, where the king Balak tries to hire Balaam to come in and curse the people of God. But this is how strong the covenant is. Say the covenant. This is how strong the covenant is with the people of God. How strong is it that even though Balaam, who was a backslidden prophet of divination, inspired by demonic spirits, if you will, he wasn't consulting the one true and living God, although he was able to tap into the realm of the spirit and reveal things concerning people's lives. And he was able to curse people. But when it came to the children of the Most High God, Balaam said, I can only go as far as the Lord will allow me. Maybe this will whet your appetite to go read the scriptures. I can only go as far as the Lord will allow me. He hath commanded me to bless, and I cannot go beyond that. So every time Balaam came to curse the children of God, he had to bless them. But this is what Balaam did. And that spirit still exists today. It's the same spirit that in the book of the Revelation, in the third chapter, where Jesus is rebuking the church, the seven churches representing the seven stages of the church, as well as the seven literal churches that were there that were in a circuit, letting them know where they were wrong. That same spirit was manifest in that time. Now, that's ahead of us. So if it was back there in the natural, and it's way up here past us in the future, don't think that it's not here now. This is why when you hear people talk about, yeah, stay away from the Old Testament, you know, because that's old and that's passed away. Go ahead and read. Go further. Go to the end. Go see.
Go see how Alpha and Omega is. The way he started this thing is the way he's going to finish it. And as the church continues to progress in a downward spiral and fashion, this is why you see Jesus rebuking them in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. He wasn't saying, oh, praise God, y'all just have a blessed time. Y'all just enjoy yourselves. Y'all doing so good. I'm so proud of you. Hallelujah. God's got his hand on you. You are wonderful people. Jesus came and rebuked them. He rebuked Ephesus because they had left their first love. They no longer loved God the way that they did when they first came to him. And God says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. Don't ever think that that has changed. Don't think that you can get by with passive love with God. Just ordinary, natural love. It falls short. Everything that Jesus did, he raised the level and raised the bar. Why? Because he was about to do the greatest thing that ever could happen in the history of mankind, and that was to die for our sins, bridge the gap, and not just have us come on back to the Father, but give us the power to live the life that the Father requires of us as sons and daughters in the earth. Hallelujah. Listen, it's hard, it's difficult to get somebody out of darkness when you're in darkness yourself. It's very hard to persuade somebody that they need the Jesus that you proclaim, but that Jesus can't do anything for you. What makes them think he can do something for them? That's another Jesus. It's a powerless Jesus that produces a powerless church. But we are the church of the living God and the pillar and the ground of truth. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. The very power that he had when he was here on this earth is the very power that he still possesses. He doesn't even have to be here. All he had to do was leave his name and release the Spirit. And it's just like having Jesus on board. Hallelujah. And we're walking around, can't get over nothing. We're defeated with everything that comes our way. We represent God poorly. But change is on the way. Change is on the horizon. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right. I'm done. You can stand to your feet. I'm done. I can keep on going, but if I keep on going, okay, you come back tonight. We'll light the place up at the altar for an hour. And then if you're still able to hang, we may preach. Praise God. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. We didn't get to Mark chapter 11, but it's Mark chapter 11, verse 23, 22, 23, 24. Hallelujah. Have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe, shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Hallelujah. If you remember nothing else, remember this. God has promised to bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. So every time you bless someone in the name of the Lord, God has obligated himself to bless you. The writer in Proverbs says, he that lendeth to the poor, lendeth to the Lord, and God will repay. So if you give the poor man $10, God will give you $10 back. But if you bless the servant of the Most High God, in the name of that servant, Jesus even uses this concerning the prophet's reward. You will receive that prophet's reward. In other words, whatever anointing is on that prophet will come on you.
Let me just see a show of hands. Anyone in this house who has sown into my life or Pastor Lucia's life and have reaped the benefits and has seen a return on their seed sown, raise your hand. This is not a gimmick to get money. I'm not going to ask you to give any money. I just want to see, and I want people to see that it's true. The principle works. And those of you who have given, you can put your hands down. Some of you have given large sums, and what a tremendous blessing that has been. And then some of you have given sums that have not been so large, but it's what you had. And for you, it was big. And God will honor that. The Pattons are always getting bonuses and raises, but they're always sowing. Last year, the Aquinos, they sowed more into our lives than they ever have. And they're reaping the benefits. Sister Kay, she just got a job at Kaiser. And now she's got a promotion. God will bless those who bless you. And he will curse those who curse you. Anybody had somebody mistreat them, and then all you had to do was wait things out? Don't fight, don't argue, don't say anything. Just go on. And later on in life, you saw vengeance of the Lord on that person. I've seen, it's happened to me too many times where people have done things to me on the job in the secular. I used to like working in the secular because it gave me the opportunity to meet people that I normally wouldn't have met and to be able to share the gospel with them. But when people would do me wrong on the job, I wouldn't fight them back and just leave, and God dealt with them. They got fired, demoted, something happened to them, some even went on. And I don't brag or boast like, don't mess with me. Because see, if I ain't living right, praise God. I can't expect God to go out there and take vengeance on my behalf. But if I'm walking upright in the fear and admonition of God, every person that blesses me, God's going to bless them. I don't have to try and reciprocate back to them. And I don't have to feel guilty about them blessing me, because I know my God, that he is going to bless you because you have blessed his servant. And likewise, when you go up to a man or a woman of God, a brother or sister in the body of Christ, and you go up and you just bless them, you don't need nothing from them. If they say thank you, say thank the Lord. He's the one who told me to do it. Because God's got something better than what I've released. And that's what's coming your way. There was a reason why in the book of Acts, when people started selling their property so that some of the other saints of God would have their needs met. It wasn't a time where everybody went into poverty. Well, we sold our property, we gave it all to the church, and now we ain't got nothing to show for it. That's not God. Jesus told the rich man, he said, because he's like, what must I do? Jesus said, go, sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. The rich man walked away sad and sorrowful because he had a lot of wealth and he did not want to let it go. And Jesus said, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Peter them choked off of that word. Because they were like, well, if the rich people can't get into the kingdom of God, we don't stand a chance. Who can be saved? And Jesus is like, don't worry about this. With men, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And then he teaches them, there is no man who has given up houses, who has given up wealth, who has given up family, if you will, for my sake and the gospel. Now, see, that's where people get because you think Jesus is anti-family. Jesus is not anti-family, and I'm not anti-family. But we are of the kingdom of God.
Jesus is looking at filling the kingdom of God. He wants you saved, Brother Joshua. He wants your sister saved. He wants your family saved. He wants your son saved. Don't ever think Jesus doesn't want your family saved. But he does want you to face reality. That if they don't get saved, you're going to glory, but they're going to perish. So don't sit there and try and just babysit them and try and do all sorts of things to eventually, you know, that hopefully, maybe one day, if they, you know, hop in there, boom, they die. And then you're like, oh, man, what happened to them? No, it's like be true to them. Let them know their state and their condition. And if your light is too bright for them, pray that God will send somebody else their way whose light they can receive with the same truth that you hold to and dear and near. And then watch God work. Because in the meantime, God wants you to go and win a world to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't ever feel bad because your family members are not saved. Get on your face before God and cry out for their salvation. But don't let no devil make you feel bad because where is their family? Where is it? You know, hey. Jesus says it'll come a day where, you know, they'll be in a house, two against three and three against two. Father against mother, mother against father, father against son, mother against daughter, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. And a man's enemy will be his own household. So don't be moved by that. Even with the rich guy, Jesus is like, you know, you go and preach the gospel. There's no man who's given up houses and cars and not cars, they didn't have cars, but family. And for my sake in the gospel, who shall not reap 100 times over now and in this time, everything that you give up, Jesus says, I will repay and I will repay it 100 times over. Why don't other preachers preach this kind of stuff? I don't know. Maybe they do. We all have to give an account to God. Hallelujah. All I know is my God is good. And he deserves a walk worthy of the calling with which he has called us. Because he's so good. Such a good, 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 good God. Amen? All right. I'm really done this time. I don't know how many minutes I went past. Probably about seven of them, three. But anyways, stretch forth your hands. Hallelujah. Father, the few words that I have shared with the saints of God in this place, I pray that they were acceptable in your eyesight and that they complete their intended assignment with your sons and daughters. If nothing else, Father, I pray for the spirit of generosity to overtake the saints of God in this house. That not only will you bless those who bless them, but you'll bless them for blessing others, especially in the household of faith. And that you'll keep them in all their ways, and in all their ways they'll acknowledge you. Oh God, let the covenant promises with your yes and amen in Christ Jesus manifest in our midst. Father, bless the works of our hands, that everything we will set our hands to would prosper. Wherever our feet shall trod, that the land would be ours. Give us uncommon favor, favor that can only be found in your presence, favor with you and favor with mankind. Increase, Lord God. Increase us more and more. You've made specific promises to your sons and daughters in this house. Lord God, let the word of the Lord come to pass in this year 2016. Not only do we claim debt cancellation and restoration, the year of Jubilee, but we claim this to be a year of fulfillment of the prophecies that have been spoken concerning your sons and daughters in this house. And I want to say this, every woman that is believing you for a child, that, Father, you will open their womb and you will cause them to conceive and give birth to sons and daughters. Continue to work, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name. Father, this young generation that you're sending and entrusting to our care, that we lead by example and guide them in the way of truth and righteousness, and that, Father, they won't be afraid to marry at an early age, Lord God, in their 20s. They don't need to see the world and enjoy the world. While they're single, they can do it while they're married, Lord God. They can establish a career in holy covenant of marriage, Lord. Let marriage be raised up as honorable once again in the church of the living God. Father, that we be ashamed to be in fornication or adultery. We be ashamed to be involved in homosexuality and lesbianism. Father, we be ashamed of our sin and not ashamed of our God. You're too good. You're too good. You deserve more and you deserve better. And I pray that your hand will be upon your sons and daughters in this place and those watching live stream, Lord God. Your hand will be upon them in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Who are we to change the word of God? Who are we to say this is the way, walk in it? If your word doesn't say it, Father God, who are we? If you didn't preach it, Lord Jesus, who are we to go and preach a different gospel other than what's been preached to us? My God, we love you and praise you. Continue to work. Continue to build, continue to edify, continue to strengthen, continue to multiply, Father, in the name of Jesus and for your glory. And let everybody who agreed say amen. Now, Father, bless your sons and daughters, keep them, make your face shine upon them and be gracious unto them. Lift up your countenance, the radiance of your glory, your shining face of approval on them, Lord God. Smile upon them, Father, as they align themselves up with you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray the power of the blessing on them, that everything they set their hands to do will prosper. No devil can hold them back. No man can hold them back. No one can stop them from prospering in the way you would have us all to go. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Give your neighbor a high five. Love them. We'll see you tonight at the altar. If there's anyone that needs prayer, by all means, come to the altar. We'll be here to pray with you. Please greet our first-time guests. We thank you for coming to fellowship with us. We love you and bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask us, because we don't have any problems sharing. Amen.